Good morning. Can we hear okay, or should I move this? We're good? All right. Thank you for having me. This is such a gift. I'm very grateful. When I was a kid, I thought it was yolk with an L. Y-O-L-K. I thought Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My dad is a pastor in the United Church of Christ. He has served local churches my entire life. From 0 to 18, I worshiped in the churches where he served. The bank of text from which preachers choose, the lectionary, it rotates every 3 years. It's likely that I heard him preach on this text 6 times. Every time I heard this passage from Matthew, I imagined Jesus saying, "Yoke, Y-O-L-K, not yoke as it is spelled in its translation, Y-O-K-E. This is a completely different word. I have 2 contexts for the word yolk with an L. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day, especially today's with pancakes. It's super good. So, of course, I thought about eggs. The way the yolk sits perfectly in the bowl before you mix it up with a fork. My dad taught me to make scrambled eggs because they're his favorite. And I loved eggs for a number of years. But I took some time off. I was convinced eggs were disgusting and repulsive, and I would never eat them again, ever. Until I did, and they were delicious. For the years, even when I wasn't eating eggs, it was my job to make breakfast on Christmas morning. 2 eggs, scrambled, with a little salt and pepper, more than a fair share of bacon, and an English muffin. The other context I have for the word yolk is science, biology. I grew up and went to public school in Western New York State. Basic biology was in the curriculum in 5th and 6th grade, and then again in about 10th grade. I learned that the yolk of an egg is where all the elements for creating life are. That the yolk feeds the developing embryo inside all animals. The RNA, a companion to the more familiar substance DNA, that's found in the yolk as well. The yolk is full of proteins and so many different kinds, each fulfilling a distinct and life-giving role. Without the yolk, there is no possibility for life. But the translators and interpreters of Matthew's gospel across the centuries did not translate yolk with an L. They translated to yolk, Y-O-K-E. Let me admit to you that I didn't know what that word meant. I couldn't define yoke until a couple of weeks ago. That was the first time I actually looked it up in the dictionary. Let me tell you what it said. A yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of 2 animals, and that yoke is attached to the plow or a cart that they are to pull. Synonyms are words like collar and harness. There are yokes that are fixed across the shoulders of 2 animals, like oxen or horses. Some yokes fit on the heads of animals with horns. Oxen, again, usually oxen. And yet another kind fits squarely between the shoulder blades of an animal, typically other kinds of cattle. And people use yokes as well. We attach 2 buckets, maybe fill them with water or grain, and we attach them to a rod, and we balance that rod across the back of our shoulders. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is talking to people that are weary, people with heavy burdens. Jesus is talking to people who are tired. He is offering respite, education, opportunity, and compassion. He is gentle, not aggressive. He offers tenderness. All of these gestures are not offered to boast his power. Jesus is not trying to show off. It is out of humility that he longs to share his heart with others. He cares about the souls of these people, their spiritual condition. What he can bestow is easy, and the burden he offers is not a heavy weight, but light. Jesus does not ask his listeners to describe their burdens. He doesn't ask them to prove that their burdens have weighed them down. It doesn't matter if someone else's burdens are heavier or if that person carried their burdens longer. It doesn't matter if the burden is one they picked up along the way or if the weight was placed upon them without their consent. Jesus says, "If you are weary, come to me. I will give you rest." Church, is it not time that we say the same? Is it not time to seek out the weary and speak to them directly? The time to offer solace is now. There are plenty in the world who need comfort today, who need rest, who would benefit from a lightened burden. The undocumented immigrants who sit alone in prison cells with no visitors. The foster children who move from house to house to house, looking for a home. The transgender teens whose entire coming out process happens publicly, in front of everybody. The Native Americans who see the constant lessening of the land of their ancestors. The elders who feel like the heavy burden on their family as their lives on this earth wind down. The women whose access to reproductive health care keeps getting farther and farther out of their reach. And these are just examples from this country. Let's not forget our family in Christ around the world who suffer because of so-called fair trade policies, slave economies, and ceaseless warfare. We Christians are people who claim to be disciples or people who like the stories about Jesus. We are a community bound together by the stinging loss of death. We are a community fortified by the hope of new life. Claiming to be a part of the Jesus story, we claim our part in his offer of rest to the weary. By participating in the sacrament of communion as we will today, we are unified in the body of Christ. The promises Jesus makes are promises on behalf of God's entire community. Because Jesus promised rest to the weary, we all promise rest to the weary. Because Jesus offered a burden that is light, the burden we are called to offer is light. It seems a little bit paradoxical, doesn't it? It doesn't make a ton of sense. If something is light, how can it be a burden? If I've learned anything at seminary so far, it is this. A lot of things can be true all at the same time. Christianity is full of paradoxes, things that don't fit, yet somehow they do. Great is the mystery of faith, right? This light burden is something I think we can work with. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke, Y-O-K-E, that we are called to offer is a yoke, Y-O-L-K. Remember that the yolk of an egg is where all the elements for creating life are. The yolk feeds the developing embryo in an animal. The yolk is full of proteins, so many different kinds, each fulfilling a distinct and life-giving role. Without the yolk, there is no possibility for life. This is the yolk, Y-O-K-E, into which we are called. Jesus opened his heart and gently offered rest to the weary. How will we do the same, church? Open the doors of our sanctuaries for a local homeless shelter. If they are already open, open them wider. Purchase humane traps for animals, all God's creatures that sneak into our homes and our workplaces. Choose energy-efficient options for our vehicles and electricity. Vote, lobby, rally, march in the light of God. Teach our children the realities of the world. Encourage them to see their place in it. Empower them to change it, to transform it. We cannot hide from things like racism and sexism and transphobia and heterosexism and classism and ableism, all of these systems and all the other ones too. These systems of oppression are heavy, heavy burdens. Jesus Christ has called us out of them. It is not that we escape them. We cannot avoid them within the walls of our church. We cannot hide from oppression. What we can do is provide rest for the weary. Jesus Christ has offered rest. As disciples and admirers of Emmanuel, of God with us, it is imperative that we offer the same. Until God's kingdom is made known on earth, we offer rest. Until God's values are written on the hearts of every person, in every language, in every creed, we offer rest. Which is not to say that everyone needs to be Christian, but that the values of God, the values of community and love and justice, compassion, that these permeate the ways everybody thinks and moves through the world. Until oppression reigns no more, we offer rest. To advocates and activists, lobbyists, change makers and earth shakers, we offer rest. The church is a place of renewal, of safety, of compassion. The church is a place of tenderness. It is so because Jesus promised it. There will be people who do not understand, people who aren't on the same page, people carrying different burdens, people denying burdens, people refusing to rest. Criticism may come from every direction. Like in the gospel story, John the Baptist was ridiculous because he didn't eat. And then Jesus was ridiculous because he did. There will be times where it seems like you cannot help ease anyone's burden. There will be time when weight sneaks up on you and the weight seems to be too heavy in your own heart. Hear one more time the words of our God. Come to me, all you that are weary. All you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. A great gift indeed is offered by our gentle God, tender in heart. In Christ we will find rest for our souls. For this yoke is easy, and this burden is light. Amen.